Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study, and happy Father's Day, everybody. And because today's Father's Day, I thought we would preach on God the Father. You know, we often hear sermons about God the Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we hear sermons on the Holy Spirit. But today, when's the last time you heard a whole sermon on God the Father? That's our program today. As you may be aware, sadly, tragically, God the Father is under attack in some of our denominations. For instance, there's a very liberal ELCA Lutheran Church in Rochester, Minnesota, and on their website, they're keeping a running count of, quote, "We have succeeded in not using male pronouns for God in worship for 654 days. In other words, goodbye, God the Father. A big Presbyterian church in downtown Minneapolis, their pastors have stated they will no longer refer to God as He. The seminary I graduated from years ago, Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, they brought in a transgender preacher for chapel, and he said, "Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Mother in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Isn't it a little arrogant to think that we're in the position to correct Jesus Christ? So, I live near a large, liberal, United Methodist church. On a rare occasion, I have a good Lutheran Missouri Synod church I attend, but now and then I'll slip in and attend this Methodist church. One Sunday, two babies were being baptized, and this church has a black pastor from Africa and a white senior pastor. The black pastor gets up to baptize baby number one in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The liberal white pastor takes the other baby, "I baptize you in the name of the one who makes all things, and of the Son, and of the Spirit." Did you catch what he did? He got rid of God the Father. I wrote him a note. I put it in his P.O. box. Jesus said, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the way we baptize." We don't have the right to change that or correct Jesus Christ. And, you know, let me tell you why this is so evil. We need God the Father. We desperately need a loving Heavenly Father. I mean, I went to a liberal Lutheran church years ago, and the woman preacher got up and preached. I had a woman come to me for counseling. She had a difficult dad. So I said to her, "You know, it's probably hard for you to relate to God as your father because of your dad. So why don't you just pray to God the Mother?" And I sat there just thinking, here's this dear poor woman who desperately needs a loving Heavenly Father, and this woman pastor took him away. So today, let's unapologetically preach about God the Father, who we desperately need, and who you don't have the right to change. Let's pray. God the Father, we pray now for anyone that has hard time believing you love them as their Father. Open their ears and hearts. Open my mouth. God the Father, teach us now who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember an old pastor saying once that he preached on the fatherhood of God. A little boy came up to church with tears in his eyes. "Well, mister, if God is like a father, you can keep him." And he started crying. And the pastor said, "What's wrong? Why?" "Well, my dad gets drunk. He comes home. He beats up my mother. He hates my brother and I. And if God is like a father, you can keep him." And the pastor said, "Little boy, what do you wish your dad was like?" "Oh, he'd love me and he'd take care of me and he'd protect my mom and my brother and I and he'd be kind to us." And the little boy went on and the pastor said, "Little boy, that is God the Father." So today, let's ask the question, what do we mean when we say God is our Father? Five things. Number one, it means that God is our Maker. I get this from the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's a reference to God the Father. So God the Father simply means He made me. You know, just like your mom and dad made you, ultimately, when we say God is our Father, ultimately, God is the one who made us. I make pottery for a hobby. And so, you know, here's a lump of clay, and I could just let it sit, but I don't. I want to create something. So I'll take this lump of clay, I'll put it on the potter's wheel, and I'll make one lump of clay for a little, whatever this is, it's a little mug, all right? And I'll take another lump of clay, and I'll make a little vase. And I'll take another lump of clay, and I'll make a communion chalice, the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And everything I make for a purpose. When you say, God is my Father, you are saying, I'm not here by accident. God made me, and He made me for a purpose. And do you know what the purpose was that He made you for? Isaiah 42 says, God made us for His glory. That's why you're on earth, for His glory. And the Presbyterians way back in 1646 wrote the Westminster Confession of Faith, and here's what it says. What is the chief end of man? In other words, why are we here? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So the first thing we mean when we say God is our Father, we are saying He made us for a purpose. Second thing we mean when we say God is our Father, and this comes from Psalm 68. Quote, God is the Father of the fatherless and the protector of widows. When we say God is our Father, we mean He protects me. He's a good Father. Now, some of you didn't have this growing up. Your dad wasn't there. He abandoned your family. Or he was there and you wish he wouldn't because he abused you. Or maybe he just neglected you. Well, you need to know that you have a loving Heavenly Father who will never abandon you. I remember a widow once saying, you know, Pastor Brock, when my husband died, that funeral day was the hardest day of my life. But I felt like God picked me up in His arms and that God carried me through that day. God the Father means He loves us. It means He protects us. The third thing God the Father means, God loves us. Now, some people have a misshapen view of God. Here it is. They believe God the Father is holy and He hates my sin. So God the Son, Jesus, comes and slips in between God the Father and me to get God the Father to like me now. That's as wrong as it can be. Listen to this verse from John 16. Jesus said, "The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf." Get this. "For the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." So God the Father Himself loves you. And yes, God the Father hates your sin, but so does God the Son, Jesus, and so does the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's good that God hates my sin, because my sin is killing me. So it's a good thing God doesn't like my sin. Years ago, I was being interviewed on the radio. And the interviewer brings up, you know, Pastor Brock, you've talked about having same-sex attraction and you get this homosexual pull, and but that you don't act on it. But Pastor Brock, why don't you just go with this as who you are? And I said to him on the air, and I'm glad I did, I'm glad I didn't go with it. I'd be dead. A lot of men who would be my age died in the 1990s because they went with it. Listen, when God tells you to stay away from something or He hates something, you hate it too, because it's good for you to hate sin, because sin destroys people. God the Father means He created me, He protects me, He loves me. Fourth thing God the Father means, He disciplines me for my good. We get this out of Hebrews chapter 12, quote, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when you're reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastises every son He receives. We have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly dads, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best for them, to them. But He, God the Father, disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness." When I was little, Dad kept this thick yardstick in the closet, in the kitchen. My brother and I fought a lot. And when he had to, Dad got out the stick. He never abused us. I mean, when Mom would spank Mark and I, we'd giggle behind her back because it didn't hurt. When Dad spanked, nobody giggled. But my dad died when I was 19 years old. And kind of strange, my brother and I argued over who was going to get the stick. Because it kind of symbolized Dad's discipline of us. When God disciplines you and spanks you for whatever reason, that's a good thing. He's doing that to keep you alive. He's doing that that you may share His holiness. Hebrews says He's doing that for your good. Last thing God the Father means, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God." So the last thing that God the Father means, He comforts us. The worst time of my life lasted a few months. I won't go into it, but it was rough. And in the midst of that ordeal, I had two different dreams in which God said, "I'm still in control of your life." God has a way of comforting us. Sometimes He'll send you a dream. More often, He'll send you a person, or He comforts you when you read your Bible, or when you go to church, or when you pray. There's all kinds of ways God... I think God comforts us through music and worship. I was at a garage sale a while ago, and they were selling for about a buck this old plaque from... this has got to be from the 1930s or 40s. But I love this hymn. Here's a comforting hymn. Here we go. "Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. God is the joy of the desolate. He's the light of the straying. He's the hope of the penitent, fadeless and pure. Come to the feast of love. Come ever knowing. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure." So when you say God is my Father, you are saying five things. Number one, He created me. Number two, He protects me. Number three, He loves me. Number four, He disciplines me when He has to for my good. And number five, He comforts me. Now let me just close on a personal note here. I was not very close to my dad. When he died, when I was 19 years old, it bothered me that it didn't bother me more that he had died. And my dad was an important man. He had a very important job and real busy, and I felt pretty neglected growing up. But God was good to me, And early in my life, I learned to pray the Lord's Prayer, and I learned to know that God was my Father. Years ago, I knew an older woman by the name of Carol who went to my church. Sweet Christian woman. But one day she said, "Tom, let me tell you about my childhood." And it was a horror story. Just an abusive mom and dad. But you know, Carol was so wonderful. How did she turn out so good? I think she let God be her father, and she let God heal her wounds. You know, I pray that for you. Listen, you need God the Father. We need a loving, kind, merciful Father, because a lot of us didn't have a merciful earthly dad, but you've got a heavenly Father that loves you, that it created you for a purpose, that loves you and protects you, disciplines you when he has to, and he's here to comfort you. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question.
Yep.
Why did my newborn child suffer and die? Why didn't God protect her?
Well, you know, I'm not saying you say this quickly to this person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just let people share their sorrow and you're just there to listen. But, you know, maybe God spared that child. You know, this world is awful. Mm-hmm. And maybe a child dying young, God was sparing them from a life of suffering. So, you know, we're not promised 75 years in this world. Sometimes God takes you after 4 days on this planet. And God is God. He does what he wants. We can, and I'm not, you know, again, you got to commiserate with that poor woman, etc. But maybe God was sparing that child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Only God knows, right?
That's right. That's right.
Should we pray to the Father, or to the Son, or to the Holy Spirit?
I think you can pray to God the Father. That's kind of the norm. Mm-hmm. You can pray to Jesus, God the Son. There's instances of that. Like I've said on the show before, there's not an instance of praying directly to the Holy Spirit. Mm-mm. I don't think that means we can't, because there's an ancient prayer in the church, "Come, Holy Spirit." I think it's okay to say, "Holy Spirit, come fill me today and help me be your person," you know. Mm-hmm. But again, the norm is you pray to God the Father and then you end your prayer in Jesus' name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is God the Father in the Old Testament?
There are a few references to God being our Father in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And actually, the whole Old Testament is God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Creator is God the Father. But Jesus is in the Old Testament, being predicted, and the Holy Spirit's definitely in the Old Testament. But here's what bugs me about people that want to get rid of God the Father because they're feminists. The concept of God being our Father is pretty new and started with Jesus Christ. Again, there are a few references in the Old Testament to God being our Father, but it's rare. The person that tells us to call God our Father, mm-hmm, is Jesus. So let's not, again, Mona, how dare people pray our Father and Mother who art in, mm-hmm, heaven? Who are they to correct Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And that's going on in some churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible.
God seems so angry in the Old Testament and more loving in the New Testament. Did God change his mind?
I had somebody ask me that, and I said, basically, I think, if I remember right, there's a lot of love of God in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm,
and there's a lot of wrath of God in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, read, if you want to see the wrath of God in the New Testament, read Romans chapters 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, you know? And in the New Testament, the angel of the Lord strikes King Herod so that he dies and is eaten by worms.
Mm-hmm.
You've got in 1 Corinthians 11, people abusing Holy Communion, God is killing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Old Testament, you've got a very long-suffering, loving God the Father who keeps taking these Jews back who keep going after, mm-hmm, idols. So God is both loving and just in the Old and the New Testament because it's the exact same God.
Mm. Do you think there's a point where God's wrath falls? I mean, after a while, it's...
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
There comes a time.
I wonder about our country.
I wonder about how long is God going to put up with this.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Do you believe God is literally male?
I don't believe God has a penis. Let's, mm-hmm, put it that way. But God has revealed himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we don't have the right to change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
From a viewer, I am 87 and never thought at my age I would have to look for another church. But our church is closing. We used to be 500 strong. We are an ELCA Lutheran church, which you said is straying away from the Bible. I had no idea of these changes in beliefs on abortion and gays because it was never brought up. I thought I was all set, that when I died, I would be buried at my church. But I know I will be with God no matter where I am. Your thoughts?
Periodically, I get a letter like this. Like, here's mm-hmm. a person who's been going to her Lutheran church for 50 years, mm-hmm. and now they hire a lesbian pastor to be over the church. And you get heartbreaking letters like this. And this is just, heresy destroys, and it hurts people. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening here. I had a lady that I talked to a few weeks ago, an ELCA Lutheran lady. They're closing her church because it's shrinking, mm-hmm. and she said the young people aren't coming anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I said it, but I thought it. Well, if you're killing unborn children mm-hmm. in the womb with ELCA offering dollars, if you're telling a boy that he can really be a girl by giving that child hormone blockers in the ELCA healthcare plan, well, of course they're not going to mm-hmm. come. God's not going to bless a church that does that kind of thing.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am in California. Saddleback Church is now ordaining women. Do you think that is biblical?
I went to a conference at Saddleback Church. It's a great church. They preach the gospel, and now all of a sudden they're having women pastors preach over the church. Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy chapter 2, women can do all kinds of things mm-hmm. serving the Lord, but the one thing they're not to do is preach over adult men. They're not to be the elders of the church. And sadly, a lot of churches are going that direction. Mm-hmm. But you've got to violate. I mean, why didn't Jesus choose 6 male disciples and 6 female disciples? Mm-hmm. He didn't. Mm-hmm. He chose 12 male disciples to run his church because God believes in male headship in the church mm-hmm. and in marriage. Men and women are equal, but we're different. A husband is supposed to lead. The wife is to submit to her husband. It's what it says in the Bible, and it's the way marriage works best. Mm-hmm. You buck that, and marriage gets to be a mess.
If God said it, I believe it.
Preach it!
A person in my Bible study has a son who is involved in same-sex behavior, and I mentioned your history as a source of comfort. Thank you for being open about your struggles.
Yeah, I've been, a transgender person has been writing me this week who does not like what I believe. Mm-hmm. And I recommended, would you please go to my website, pastorstudy.org, and I have 2 articles there. One is called My Struggle with Same-Sex Attraction, mm-hmm. and the other article is called What Does the Bible Teach About Homosexuality? So if you're watching this, and where exactly is it in the Bible, all these verses, go to pastorstudy.org, go to the article called Where in the Bible, What Does the Bible Teach About Homosexuality? And if you've got someone who struggles with this issue, have them read my article, My Struggle with Same-Sex Attraction. We've done whole TV shows on this. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. I was flipping through channels and my jaw fell open in shock that there was someone from the pulpit actually talking about the things Minnesota is passing to destroy our children: hormone blockers, gender reassignment, surgery, abortion up until birth. I have stopped attending church myself because I refuse to support any church that condones same-sex marriage or supports the transgender community.
And I wrote him back and I said, you got to go to church. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 10, is it? I always get that mixed up. I think it's Hebrews chapter 10 says, do not forsake the assembly. Mm-hmm. There's lots of horrible churches out there now. There's still lots of good churches. Mm-hmm. And we're commanded to be in church. So don't be a little holy huddle where I'm holy and the rest of the world isn't, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to church. Find a good church. We all need to be in church.
Ask friends, neighbors, yeah. relatives.
Yeah.
I love your teachings from the Bible, but as we listen to you every Sunday on TV, I try not to turn the channel when you start harping on the LGBT community, abortion, trans community, etc. every week. There are so many other things wrong with this world besides that subject. School shootings, robberies, child abuse, vandalism. It would be a breath. It would be such a breath of fresh air if you would harp on this maybe once a month instead of every week and concentrate more on the positive Bible teachings.
All right, so did you notice something? the letter right before it loved the fact that we get into this. This lady doesn't love the fact. And I was talking to a friend. He said, you know, you really can't do anything without somebody criticizing you. Mm-hmm. And this person did it nicely. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote her back and I said, recently, the lesbian press secretary of President Biden was asked, what does President Biden think about sex change operations on children and hormone mm-hmm. blockers? She replied, as long as the parents and the children are agreed, he's okay with it. Mm-hmm. This is evil. Mm-hmm. Sex change operations on children mm-hmm. and the president's okay with this? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't be quiet about that. Mm-hmm. Now I know I need to be balanced. So everybody pray out there that I'll be balanced, that I don't overdo it. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to underdo it either. We live in tragic days, and Christians are too quiet. Christians, speak up a little bit, will
you? Be bold.
Yeah.
Be bold.
Yeah.
Speak the truth.
There you go.
Your blanket statement that the fires of hell await all who don't conform to a strict interpretation of the message of the Nazarene is too harshness. As a still struggling Catholic, is there not room for consideration of other paths to love and forgiveness of the Redeemer?
And I wrote him back, too, and I said, the reason I can't go down the path of believing there are many roads that go to heaven is because of what Jesus himself said. Mm-hmm. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me, period. Mm-hmm. The rest of the New Testament teaches the same thing. Acts 4:12, there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. So, you know, you want to be nice and humble and gentle, but you can't deny the words of Christ.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens to the untold number of good, decent human beings who lived and died long before Jesus Christ arrived on the scene? Surely there must be a way for them to be admitted to heaven.
And there are. I mean, read Romans chapter 4. First of all, there are no good, decent people. We're all sinners. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were sinful too. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's these wonderful people that are going to hell. We all deserve hell. Mm-hmm. But were Old Testament saints saved before Christ came? They were. Mm-hmm. Read Romans chapter 4, where Abraham was saved by faith, just like we're saved by faith.
Yes.
He believed in the Jesus who was to come. Mm-hmm. We believe in the Jesus who has come.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Mona, that's about it for today. And everybody, we want to thank you for watching our program. If the Lord nudges you to support us, we'd rather not have to withdraw, and we're having some financial issues, so hopefully we'll be able to stay on all of our stations. There's the address if you want to help support our ministry. Pray for us, and there we go.
Thanks for joining us today. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.